Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us once again. So great to have these weekly updates. We got a lot to go over today. You can go in the description box below, andweknow.com/gold at any time during this recording, and reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott yourself and his team. They'll get back with you in about 24 or 48 hours, and you'll have the conversation I'm having now to help you out for your future. It's great to have you back again. There's a lot going on. I wanted to jump on board with something we touched on briefly before we get started into the money side. Did you see the information flowing out with the voting side? Of course, this being an election year in Texas, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, they're now getting all these guys with their last four digits of their Social Security number. That's all you have to walk in with to vote. You don't have to show a photo ID. And a lot of them are getting these work permits now, the illegals. And of course, we know how they're going to vote. Have you seen the stuff like that going on?
Yeah, I mean, here we get into it again. Sadly, it's like Dominion's not out of the picture, so it's like, okay, we have to deal with all this again, and the, you know, the stories of fraud, and so they're getting around it with things like this, right? It's like, okay, let's just make a big wider net and have people that want to vote. If they show up, they can vote. Doesn't matter if they're a citizen or not. Right. A lot of the illegals are just allowed to vote if they can simply show up. Then I read an article on Zero Hedge the other day about the Biden administration using White House funds to actually pay college students to recruit other college students to vote. It's like college students across the board are almost all voting Democrat. Right. So it's like, oh, it's a great use of money to actually get a sympathetic voting public, but you're using not your campaign funds to do it. You're using federal funds to do it under the umbrella of we're promoting democracy, right? It's like, oh my word. No, you're not trying to steal the election any way you know how. Right. So, I just think these kinds of things are going to actually manifest themselves in either illegal ways, unethical ways, just flat out shady ways, because they don't want Trump in office. They don't. And you don't have to take my word for it. I mean, listen to what Christine Lagarde, you know, of the European Union said, is if Trump gets into the presidency, into the White House, this is basically a really step backwards for the globalist agenda. It's like, all right. She said, you know, because Trump is a nationalist. Every president in the world should be a nationalist, because what does that mean? It's kind of like the mainstream media would say, oh, that's a dirty word, nationalism. It's like, no, it's not. Just means you put the obligations, wishes, desires, protection, provision of your own country ahead of that of other countries.
Right.
Well, you're the president of a country. You should put the needs and wants of your own country first. So there's nothing wrong with that. But we have a president in the White House right now who's not a nationalist. He does not put the needs of our country first. He puts the needs of the global community first. And that's a problem to me, right? That's you're not elected president of the world. You're elected president of the United States. Put the needs of us first. But you've got their goal is a global socialist utopia. But here's the thing. In any socialist type world, everybody's not equally wealthy. Everybody's equally poor. Mm-hmm. And you become a slave to the system. You become an economic slave, a political slave, a personal slave. You really do, because what socialism and communism does is it makes them in control of your life. It takes away your freedom, away your provision. You get money when the government says you want money. Well, to me, that's basically taking the role of God and putting it into the hands of government.
Right.
It's like God is a God of freedom. He's a God of choice. He's a God of love. He's a God of faith. He's not a God of fear and control and no choice. That's what Harari would want, right? Harari is the pure personification of an antichrist system when he says people are useless eaters and people are programmable machines. in the future, where God created us to have a choice and to choose his son or reject his son, to choose to sin or to choose not to sin, to choose the mark of the beast or reject the mark of the beast, right? Everything in life is either going to have a blessing or a consequence to each decision. And God gave us the mind and heart to actually make those choices, right? And there's consequences to those actions. This is not the way that the globalists want. Listen to the words of Harari, which are programmable machines. We are going to have singularity where we blend with machines and machines become smarter than people and you can program them. And in a lot of ways, LT, people, even though we're not machines yet, are being pre-programmed to think like one. Oh, you can't say certain things. You can't go to certain places. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's all about what you can't do. Right. And then I was watching this week. It's just the signs of social decay when Biden on Easter made that transgender visibility day.
Right.
Like, what in the world? I mean, people can choose how they want to think, right? It doesn't mean that it's right, but they can. But to put it on that exact most holy day in Christianity, slap in the face, right? And then 2 days later said, I didn't do that. It's like, well, yes, you actually did. Or one of your handlers did, and you don't know what's going on in your own government, which is even a bigger problem, right? So we're living in this world of social decay. But here's the thing, social decay always follows economic unrest. So we have the economy starting to fall away first, because when people can't afford to feed their babies, can't pay their rent, can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their utility bills, can't do really anything. And now banks have no money to lend out by design. I think they're changing the rules to make banks illiquid, to change the lending requirements. So people are just going to do naturally an end run around the banking system to go directly to the government for assistance. And when the government starts to run out of money, you start to get social unrest, right? I mean, this is what we're seeing. And all of these puzzle pieces are really starting to fit together, where when you read God's word and the words of the prophets in the Old Testament that talk about the things that are going to be happening now, right? And you look at it, it's like, oof, this is wild stuff that we happen to be living through, prophetic events that were foretold thousands of years ago in God's word. It's like, oh my word, why did God choose us to be living right now, right? Instead of 400 years ago or 400 years from now. It's so we can spread light and make a difference in the world around us, because I think that we are living in these days where we need to. And God has chosen us to do exactly that and be light in this dark world.
That's right. Part of that darkness, too, we were talking about the voting and what have you. I kept wondering when they were going to put out another pandemic, and they'd been planning this one for a long time. February 2023, we have to prepare for a human bird flu pandemic. They were already putting that out. And of course, the U.S. was collaborating with Chinese scientists to make bird flu strains more infectious, right? They put that out this year, February. And of course, they had funding go out in 2022 for the future bird flu, like they knew it was coming. And of course, WHO comes out and they say, you know, look, this is catastrophic. It's going to be 100 times worse than we've ever seen before, worse than COVID. And so again, that's going to get us back to, they're going to try to lock us down so they can do the mail-in ballots. Then they have the illegal voters come in. Then they drop the ballots like crazy because they're so scared. And they know they're about to lose. And I think, again, they're going to try this fear tactic. And we've been waiting for it to see if it's going to catch wind or folks actually going to fall for this time.
So, well, here's the thing. Whether they fall for it or not, I think that it's coming and they're going to make it really difficult. The reason I think that is last year, the United Nations, the head of the UN, the Secretary General, gave a statement about the United States. Basically, it's their plan for the future, right? It's something that's insidious, which they are doing what? They are going to be releasing that in September of this year in Tianjin, China, is their big symposium where they talk about the UN's agenda for the future, right? But all of the buildup had to happen because it's not saying this is going to be our plan. You know, they're saying this is our plan that we've been working on. We're unveiling it to the world. So what is part of this plan, this agenda for the future, right? Number one, it's control of your bank accounts through a central bank digital currency, and the United Nations having complete control, autonomous control over us, over corporations, over whether we can travel, over whether we have to get vaccinated, or all this stuff, right? It's like, well, what gives them that ultimate authority? Different events. Number one, a global health pandemic. Boom, you just talked about that, right?
Right.
What did Biden name it? Oh, something that has to do with the letter X. Oh no, that's the new gender. The right. New gender is just called X. Well, like even talking about the eclipse is making an X. We've got disease X. X is a very occult symbol. And it's like, man, what kind of a world are we living in right now? But anyways, global health pandemic can actually give them unlimited authority. So could a banking crisis. So could a black swan unforeseen event or an event in outer space. We've talked about this. Well, now you've got a financial pandemic kind of happening because bank crises are about to unfold. And now they just released basically a bird flu health pandemic that the president already gave up sovereignty of the United States to the World Health Organization, and 192 other countries did the same thing. It's like, boy, LT, this is kind of playing itself out to be really, really weird, and goes into the United Nations timing of September of this year, which is right before the election. What amazing timing for them, right? So this is some kind of crazy stuff that we're starting to see, where our freedoms are eroding, and nobody would give up their freedoms unless the emergency, the crisis was really, really bad. And I think that's what they're planning for all of us.
That's right. Yeah, these man-made viruses they put out. And I've always felt like the whole thing has been designed around them taking power, sovereignty away from our country. And then overall, although it's part of the election takeover, they're also going to run surveillance on all of us too, so they can continue to watch all of us, talk about, look at what we're trying to say to each other, come in and basically make the social credit scores and more. Before you know it, they're shutting our bank accounts down and we can't buy or sell because we don't agree with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so you were talking about central banks earlier. This article popped up, why are central banks buying gold? What is that? What's going on there?
Okay. So if you look around the world, central banks, China owns 5,000 tons. We're talking tons, LT, of gold. The European Central Bank, 10,500 tons. The Fed, 8,500 tons. India, 600 tons. Russia, 1,000 tons. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, a couple hundred tons each. It's like, why are these central banks buying gold by the hundreds or thousands of tons? Right, just February alone, they bought another 19 tons, you know, globally. I mean, they're adding a lot of tons of gold. Well, see, we're not going to go back to a Bretton Woods type system, which made the U.S. dollar the world's reserve currency. I think we've now transcended right past that into like the BRICS nations becoming the world's reserve currency. Or a global currency becoming the world's reserve currency of some sort. No individual nation, I think, is ever going to have that again, right? Because every time throughout history, that nation has squandered its time in the sun. The United States did, Great Britain did before that, Portugal did before that, the Dutch did before that, right? And so you go back, and so now they're wanting a regional system, and this is the language that they're going to use, right? We don't ever want to trust one country that might have different political aspirations in other countries. So therefore we'll have regional, you know, like global currencies or a global currency, right? So, So here's where currencies can become political, right? So this is what caused the BRICS nations to actually gain more strength, is when Biden used the dollar as a weapon and kicked Russia out of the SWIFT system, meaning Russia couldn't get any international bank wires to feed their populace, right? So Putin went to China and China said, hey, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We've got our own SWIFT system that we use in the BRICS nations. And so, boom, Biden's economic nuclear option for economic warfare and weaponizing the dollar backfired because it caused the BRICS nations to really coalesce, converge, and get bigger and stronger and badder, right? So you can't actually ever pick a currency, so to speak, because currencies have exchange rate risk, political risk, and things like that. So what about gold? Gold is neutral, right? Currencies can use it as backing. It has no political affiliation. Gold is simply neutral. So central banks are buying gold because the neocons have weaponized the dollar. And all of these other countries around the globe are looking what happened to Russia when we put economic sanctions on them, tried to kick them out of the SWIFT system, or did kick them out of the SWIFT system, but they found another alternative, or were freezing their assets and they can't get to them. The point is, doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with Russia. What matters is that a country had the power to actually freeze another country's assets. And these other countries around the world are now getting scared. So what are they doing? They're buying gold, right? Because when Russian assets were removed from SWIFT, the threat to the world was issued that said, this is my paraphrase, hey, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to take you out of SWIFT and we're going to take all your assets and we're going to freeze them so you don't have access to them. So, and we did that. So the rest of the world is now thinking, we're pulling our money out of the dollar. We're pulling our money out of any currency. We're going to go to something that's neutral, which is gold. So that's why they're doing that, is because Biden weaponized the dollar and they want something that's real, something that's tangible, something that they can back up their own currency with, something that truly is a measure of wealth, right? And I would love to encourage everybody watching this. It's like, stop measuring your wealth in paper dollars that you own. Start measuring your wealth in the number of ounces that you own or control of physical metals, because it's different. So let me explain that, right? So let's say that you had 1,000 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold, right, throughout time. And the price of those metals didn't do anything. They just stayed static for a decade. And you'd probably call me and complain and say, Kirk, I haven't done anything. I haven't gained. In fact, it's done nothing, right? It's like, has it? You're looking at it wrong. Because what's happened to the U.S. dollar since 1972? It's lost 80% of its value. So even if gold and silver would have stayed static since 1972, done nothing, the dollar lost 80% of its value. If something stayed the same and the dollar came down, you're actually ahead, even if gold and silver did nothing. We don't have that situation. We have the dollar declining, gold and silver going up. That's a multiplicative thing that's starting to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, what are central banks doing? They're seeing exactly that. Currencies around the globe that are printing money without discretion, devaluing those currencies, and they're buying gold because the U.S. dollar is now political, right? And so they don't want to buy the debt of their country or any other country when that's a political thing. They want to buy something that's neutral. That is a huge understanding to have, and why gold and silver are so important. And it's not that just they're staying static. They are not, right? In fact, gold has hit an all-time high every single day for like the last week. It keeps setting a new record, right? Right. And silver is doing even better, right? So let's see. How long ago was it? It was about, well, today I think silver went up like 30 cents. Well, not today. It's the weekend, but the last day of the week. And then it was up a dollar another day of the week. It was up another dollar another day of the week. We've gone up literally like $3. in silver in the last week and a half, right? Well, what does that equate to? The silver started in the low 20s. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like 12 or 15% in a week and a half. It's like,
wow.
LT. So here's when I'm not a technical trader. I'm not. But when you look at trading patterns, so there was some significant levels. Number, the first one was 22. We were higher than that. And when silver was kind of coming down a couple of months ago and it hit 22, if it would have blown past 22, it would have kept coming down because 22 is a very fundamental support level at the time.
Right.
Well, it hit 22 and it bounced back up. It's like, great. We talked about that and we said how that was going to happen. Then 25 was another technical support line. The 25 level, if you looked on a chart, it was kind of slowly coming down for a long, long, long time. That 25 level is the 15-year moving average. So it's the 15-year average price of silver, which is like it's like $25. It's like, okay. So what happens is there over time, it's hit that and come down, hit that and come down. It could never like break through that glass ceiling, so to speak. So when it does, and it did break through that a few weeks ago, what does that mean? It means that old ceiling becomes your new floor, right? Mm. And so it's like now 25 is the old 22. So we keep going up. And if I look at charts, and I'm not a chartist, I don't care. I don't look at that kind of stuff. I always look at fundamentals like inflation, unsustainable debt, political changes, things like that that cause moves in any market. But my technical clients that are technical traders, literally, they're all like foaming at the mouth. And they're saying, oh, my word, this silver thing, this is amazing. Because we have another resistance point at 32, and then we don't have another one until 48, which was the old high. Mm. And so once they go past those, though, there is no resistance to the upside because we've hit the former high, and we're going to get there. And this is where, when I look at previous moves in silver and how much they've moved, like in 2011, when it went from $12 to $48 an ounce, that's like a factor of four. If we're starting at 25, a factor of four this time brings it to 100. It's like, man, I'm excited about where this is going. I'm excited for everybody that's been watching, all the end we knowers out there, right, who have been calling for a year, allocating into silver, and now we've gone through some of these technical resistance points. It's like, it's right. Exciting. It's really exciting because people tend to get discouraged when things kind of go sideways for a while. Well, here's the thing. Markets can stay irrational longer than we can stay rational sometimes because there's stimulus money and everything else. But the fundamental truth is always there, which is why we allocate into it. Now that strength is going to be our support, and it's going to act as a floor as we start to move forward. And that's what really excites me is we can actually allocate into something, LT, that's going to thrive when the world seems to be sinking and falling apart. We don't have to settle for that. We can go into something that's going to thrive.
That's right. That's right. And so when they reach out to you through our, when they click that link, andweknow.com/gold, there sends them to a form they fill out, and that puts them in contact with your team, correct? And then what happens from there for those that might be listening for the first time?
So when they call, they'll talk to one of my schedulers, and that call is to set up an appointment with our consultant. So they'll find a time that's good for you, ask you a few questions, you know, what it was that LT and I were talking about that caused them to want to reach out. And then we'll dig in deep and say, okay, you've got an IRA, you just have some cash you want to protect, you have these bank accounts, whatever. And we'll map out a strategy for success moving forward that will get you out of the path of the hurricane using tangible assets to protect and preserve and grow and thrive. And it's not just about being in the right place at the right time. It's about understanding why we're doing what we do, right? Because you could be in the right place at the right time and you have no idea why. You're stressed out of your gourd, right? Or you could think you're the smartest smarty pants in the world and you're not in the right place at the right time. Still, you're going to be stressed out of your gourd. So when you're in the right place at the right time and you understand why, that financial anxiety starts to melt off. And you know that you've got somebody on your team that thinks like you, that shares the same faith, the same political and economic worldview. And it's like, I didn't think somebody like this existed. I've been watching mainstream media. I've been watching CNBC or MSNBC or Fox. And it's like, I didn't think somebody like you existed. It's like, right. We do. And we think the same. We share the same faith. We share the same political worldview. And there are solutions to be successful given the times that we're living in.
Amen. Amen. It's so wonderful to have you guys around, helping so many out there. Again, folks, andweknow.com/gold. Type that in. Click on the link below, and you'll be able to reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, and they will help you along. I'd like to close in prayer today, if we could.
Yeah, for sure.
Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the peace that you bring to all of us through all of this, the storm that we continue to go through that's been whirling up for the past 7-8 years for many of us. And we just thank you for Dr. Elliott and his team, for the ability that they have to settle folks down spiritually and physically. Also, as we watch the dollar spin down and so many things with precious metals becoming so much more apparent that it's biblical, we ask that you would comfort those, allow them to reach out and just touch base with them. And we ask for protection for his team. I'm sure the enemy is continuing to look for ways to attack them as they're not part of the world system. And we just ask that protection would be readily apparent, and that his team would actually have their eyes open, even for a moment, to see the surrounding mighty angels on their chariots and horses of fire, just being the protection for them day in and day out as they go about your work on this earth. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, brother. Once again, we look forward to next time.
You got it. You have a good one.